1010 WOLB, where information is power.
We have been able to get the four major candidates to join us this morning live, and it is our opportunity with a studio audience, which is a little bit unique for radio. So we're going to ask if the audience, if they want to get their 10 seconds of applause for all these candidates, you can do so right now for joining us this morning. Thank you so very much for joining us. We have already worked out rules and expressions of how we want to proceed, and it's been agreed to by the candidates. And again, we want to thank on behalf of WLB 1010, our general manager, and for all of us, thank you for thinking enough of us to consider us to be a format that you would want to come to. The rule is that each candidate will have 2 minutes for an opening a statement as well as a closing one, and we're going to do it in the order of your presence. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Dean Ahmed. I'm the Libertarian candidate for the United States Senate in Maryland. And I want to compliment Larry Young and WOLB for getting all four candidates together on the same platform, and to thank you for giving me the opportunity to present a different perspective on the crisis into which the incumbent political parties are plunging this nation. My campaign slogan is freedom for everyone. By that I mean that the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness belong not only to white males, or rich bankers, or Judeo-Christians, but everyone. The budget deficit spirals out of control, and the national debt mounts. The solvency of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are gravely threatened. The wealth, lives, and precious civil liberties of Americans are being destroyed. The middle class is gradually disappearing as its wealth is looted for the benefit of corporate behemoths that are unsuccessful in the marketplace, but are deemed too big to fail. Because I'm beholden to no special interests, I can tell you the truth about these issues. The budget will never be balanced as long as we continue to spend billions, trillions of dollars on undeclared wars, like the one in Afghanistan, an adventure that continues to drain American wealth and lives long after Osama bin Laden, the putative reason for our military presence there, has been killed. If we blunder into a war with Iran, we will ensure our bankruptcy, even as we unleash a disastrous regional war that could turn into a world war. While we spend ourselves into poverty, our civil liberties are sacrificed in an arrogant attempt to turn our great republic into a new Roman Empire. Laws are passed for the military to detain American citizens indefinitely without charge and without judicial review, all in the name of national security. But what is it we're trying to secure? America is exceptional because it was conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. If we lose our liberty, we have lost our soul.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Dan Bongino. I am the Republican nominee for United States Senate here in the great state of Maryland. I want to thank Larry Young and WOLB for hosting this forum. I want to thank my fellow candidates as well. It's a long, arduous process, and I respect them for putting their names in the hat and getting their skin in the game as well. Most importantly, I want to thank my wife, Paula, who has taken on an enormous task in supporting me in this endeavor. This has been a year and a half long campaign of 16-hour days, lots of metro stops. We have an 8-month-old baby who my wife has taken on an enormous responsibility with that and supporting the family while we campaigned out there actively. Lots of long nights at Orioles games, greeting fans at Ravens games, at Redskins games. It's been an enjoyable experience out there shaking hands and pressing the flesh with working class average Marylanders. I've really enjoyed it. Having said that, folks, there are two different paths going forward in this election. Two very distinct, important paths. And I want to make abundantly clear where I stand on these issues, so you have a very clear choice in this election. I will not raise your taxes. You pay enough. It is now government's responsibility to take the money they have taken from you and spend it more responsibly than they've spent it in the past. I will not support a health care system that takes away your decision-making and gives it to boards of unelected bureaucrats to make your decisions for you. And finally, the civil rights issue of our day is school choice. I will not support any system that furthers this nonsensical model that keeps children in Baltimore City in struggling school districts, keeps them out of the American dream I had access and my wife had access to. It is unfair. I will not support it. It is time for a new agenda and real change. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Larry, again, thank you for having us here. I'm Ben Cardin. I'm proud to be the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate, and I'm proud to represent the people of Maryland in the United States Senate, and I'm proud of my accomplishments on behalf of the people of Maryland. My top priority has been to create jobs and to preserve jobs. That's why I helped create the African Trade Office, so that Maryland small minority businesses can do business with companies in the continent of Africa, creating jobs here in Maryland. That's why I've worked to bring transportation funds to Maryland so that we can expand our airports in the Port of Baltimore. That means more jobs for the people of Maryland. And that's why I have worked to create a credit for home buyers. So if we can get our real estate market going again, it gets our economy going, and it allows for additional job growth. I'm the leading senator on protecting the Chesapeake Bay. Now, there's many reasons I do that. The Bay is critically important for our future. We want to turn it over to our children in better condition than it is today. But it also means jobs. A clean bay means more jobs for the people of our community. So I'm going to fight and continue to fight for jobs. I've also have worked with President Obama to pass the Affordable Care Act. And I'm proud of that bill. It includes many provisions that I drafted. The National Institute for Minority Health and Health Disparities at the National Institutes of Health is legislation that I authored that's now the law of the land. And I'm very proud that every child in this country now has access to dental care through provisions that I got into the law. Now, that was a result of a tragedy that occurred in Maryland where a 12-year-old died because he couldn't get access to dental care. I did something about that. So I've been able to work across party line, get things done for the people of Maryland, and I ask for your support in this election.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Rob Sabani. I'm the independent candidate for the United States Senate. Larry, I want to thank you. I want to thank Senator Cardin, Dan Bongino, and Dean Ahmed for being here. We've got a debate going. I would like to start off by saying that I truly and sincerely believe that the Maryland family is hurting. That despite what our elected officials tell us, there is hurt in places here like Baltimore. When a young lady called Tiana has to struggle to make ends meet, when a young man called Joshua doesn't have a home after coming back from military service, when members of your own church, Larry, at Shiloh Baptist, are concerned about, you know, their food on the table, when Joe at Sparrows Point doesn't have a job, these are all indications that we are going in the wrong direction. When the comptroller of Maryland states that we've lost 10,000 jobs, that means that we have lost our bearing. I'm Rob Sabani, and I will bring back those jobs. I have a specific plan to bring $5.5 billion to the state of Maryland to grow the economy. Specifically, that means approximately 120,000 jobs, because with job creation comes back the opportunity for Tiana. It comes the opportunity for Joshua to have a home, and for Joe at Sparrows Point to finally have a job. So in this election, there is a choice, finally, a real alternative. And that alternative is Rob Sabani, the independent candidate who's not beholden to any political party.
Candidates, so my question first is, and we understand you got 60 seconds. What are your qualifications or experience for this office?
Thank you. Dan Bongino, Republican nominee for U.S. Senate. I spent 12 years in the Secret Service putting my life on the line for our president, our elected office holders. It was a solemn responsibility. It was a very noble profession. That's why I sought out the Secret Service. Our motto was, you're not going to die on my watch. We are going to protect you no matter what, no matter your party affiliation. We are a responsible constitutional republic, and we're going to uphold that no matter what. My history of leadership and integrity in that position has been strong. I conducted presidential advances. I was a lead advance agent and the responsible security official in Indonesia in an active war zone in Afghanistan, coordinated the signing of the START Treaty in Prague. I am a small business owner. I'm in the process of selling one, starting another. I have an active one with my wife. And folks, I have, I have skin in the game economically. I understand what it takes to start a business and to run a successful business, and I'm proud of that.
Thank you.
Ben Cardin, I have a track record of getting things done. I have been in the state legislature. I was Speaker of the House. At that time, I used that position to reach out and bring diversity to the Maryland General Assembly. I'm proud to have appointed the first African-American chairman of a standing committee. You may know that person.
I do.
I'm proud of what I've been able to do in the Congress of the United States, reaching across party line to get things done, moving this country forward, creating jobs and hope for the people of our community. And I'm proud that this has been recognized. President Obama, I was the first Senate candidate in the country that he endorsed for re-election in this election cycle. When I came to the Senate, I sat next to Senator Obama, and we worked on election reform issues, and we've worked on a lot of other issues. So I have a proven record of getting things done. I know how to work across party line, and that's what we need today. We need people who know how to bring action to Washington.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Rob Sabani, and my experience that I bring to the table on the first day that I hope to be the advocate for the state of Maryland as the elected senator from Maryland is my business experience. Over the last 25 years, I've worked in the private sector. I have helped American companies actually grow. I have actually created jobs by linking companies to the 21st century. And I believe that this is the experience we need. We do not need the old politics of 20th century. We're in the 21st century. And there are opportunities out there that our elected officials have failed to go after. And I believe from day one, I will be able to bring $5.5 billion into the state of Maryland to grow our economy. Because we need business experience in the real world, and that's what I'm going to bring to the table. That's why I'm Rob Sabani, and I'm asking for your support today.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm Dean Ahmed, and my beloved wife, Frances, told me that if I was asked a question like this, I should say what I bring is intelligence, integrity, and love. I have a PhD in astrophysics, so there are those who say politics isn't rocket science. Well, whether it is or not, I'm prepared to deal with it. I have been a leader in the Montgomery County Civic Federation. I was elected twice as their president, two terms. I was elected repeatedly as the president of the East Bethesda Citizens Association, which shows that I can work with people despite the fact I belong to a minority group that happens to be highly disrespected at the moment. Even though I'm a Muslim, I was very successful. I've received awards from these organizations and newspapers in Montgomery County for my work there, and I look forward to being in the Senate. Now, it is true that I have not held, I'm not currently in the Senate or the Congress. I haven't held elected office, but that means I'm not part of the problem.
Thank you very much. Question: what, if anything, should the federal government do to strengthen the national economy and create jobs?
Ben Cardin, the most important thing we can do now is have a responsible plan to deal with the deficit. It needs to be balanced. It needs to be bipartisan. It needs to include spending reductions, and I have brought forward ways that we can reduce spending and reducing the growth of health care costs and responsible reductions in our military spending. But it also needs to include revenues. And by the way, I think I'm the only candidate running for the United States Senate who believes we need more revenues. Everyone has to play according to the same rules. It's not right for a person who manages money to pay at a 15% rate, even though he may be making millions of dollars a year, and a laborer to be paying at 28%. Everybody should be paying their fair share. We should eliminate the deductions that allow businesses to send our jobs overseas. And we shouldn't be giving the oil industry special breaks that are not available to other aspects of the energy sector. We need a fair system that allows us to invest in job creation, which is in education, research, and building infrastructure. That will create jobs.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I believe the way we... I'm Rob Sabani, and the way I believe we grow our economy is, once again, we link our economy, Maryland's economy, to the international economy, and we go after specific projects. Let's just take the example here in Baltimore, where unemployment among African Americans is hovering around 40%. Let me repeat that. Unemployment among African Americans is 40%, and we're having a debate here in Baltimore about building youth prisons. I think that's a shame that in today's day we're talking about that. And so my idea would be $1 billion to build 25,000 new homes in the city of Baltimore. That'll help create jobs, and that'll bring hope and prosperity to the city so that the next time we think about an issue, instead of trying to work gambling into the system, we bring Facebook and Google into Baltimore and not gambling into Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
Dean Ahmed, the main thing we need to do to have jobs is to stop strangling the economy. If the president is proud of boasting that GM is still alive, and GM is still alive, but what he doesn't tell you is how many small and medium businesses are dead or dying because the economic resources that should have gone to them have been given to big businesses that are unsuccessful in the marketplace and should have been allowed to go bankrupt. The elements, as far as taxes are concerned, I think we have to stop taxing productive activity altogether. Instead of taxing production, we should be taxing natural resource extraction and the location value of land, things that truly belong to the Commonwealth, and that way stop strangling jobs. And finally, I think we have to get rid of the charade of regulation of our current regulatory model. Instead of writing rules that allow polluters to get away with their pollution by saying we were just following EPA rules, let's instead allow lawsuits that will prevent any pollution. Zero tolerance.
Thank you very much. What are your views? I'm sorry.
Dan Bongino, Republican nominee for Senate. Folks, government has to get out of your way. A government doesn't create jobs. Government creates work. There's a difference. I can ask the studio audience here to get up from their chairs and sweep the floors as well. That's not a job. That's work. There's a difference. You create jobs. My wife creates jobs with her small business. You, Maryland taxpayers, you know what to do. Get the government out of your way. I am not making an argument for no taxation. I am making an argument for taxation on public goods, our military, teachers, police, fire, not taxation to build soccer fields in Guantanamo Bay that slowly but surely drain and suck money out of every small business in Maryland. Folks, it's your money. There is no such thing as public money. There is your money taken by the government and respent on you once they pay their own salaries. That is it. Put the money back in Marylanders' pockets. They know what to do with it.
Thank you very much. Sorry about that. What are your views on addressing the federal deficit and producing revenue?
Well, this is Rob Sabani, independent candidate. Larry, when was the last time you had an elected official look into the camera and tell the American people, my fellow Americans, we've lied to you. We're broke. We have no money left. No politician in America has dared say that, Republican or Democrat. I agree with Dean Ahmed. You know, we've got a broken political system where no one dares look in the camera and say, my fellow Americans, we've lied to you. So the way you address it is currently we've got 69.4% debt to GDP ratio. We've got to bring it down to 30%. But we need to do it with national sacrifice. Everything's on the table. Defense is on the table. Everything. Programs, every program needs to be on the table. But in addition to that, we need to hire CSI Miami, CSI New York, CSI Chicago to go and do forensic accounting on our budget deficit because our politicians have not told us the truth about where we are. And it's a shame that we are in a situation that we find ourselves in. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Dean Ahmed, the Libertarian candidate. Certainly, I agree with what Rob has said, and let me go further. The so-called solutions that are being offered by the incumbent parties to balance the budget don't balance the budget. They are reductions in the rate of increase in spending. We must decrease spending, and I don't mean over 10 years. I mean we need a balanced budget next year. Now, there are sites online you can go to, and you can see what are the proposals on the table for balancing the budget. If you accept all of them, you can almost balance the budget, and if you cut military spending the way it needs to be cut and stop and end to foreign aid and various other things that are not productive and even be counterproductive, then we can balance the budget more quickly, and in fact, we can actually start to pay down the debt. Finally, we need to put an end to the Federal Reserve Board and its constant printing of money that is putting an absurd burden on future generations that we don't even see at the moment. That's going to drive this country.
Dan Bongino. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been lied to over and over by an insulated class of bureaucrats that live insulated lives and are not subject to their own poor legislation. Do you realize that the so-called tax hikes on the rich, and I use that term loosely because the rich is really a number of small business owners that file as S-corps, would allegedly raise approximately $80 billion a year. I say allegedly because those estimates never actually work out. I can prove to you the evidence, email my campaign, I'd be more than happy to provide it. Would provide about $80 billion a year, if it does even that. The interest on the debt last year alone was $227 billion in an over $1 trillion deficit last year. How you think that's going to help draining Maryland's small businesses to pay off allegedly $80 billion additional dollars, which is not even a tenth of our debt or our deficit in 1 year, is absurd and mathematically not feasible.
I'm Ben Cardin. I know how to balance the budget because I was part of Congress that did balance the budget under Bill Clinton's leadership, under the Democrats' control. We balanced the federal budget with no help from the Republicans. As a result, we created 20 million plus jobs and our economy took off. What we need to do is we don't want to return to the policies that brought us into this deficit. Under George W. Bush, we went to war in two countries, we cut taxes twice, we went into a huge deficit, and the economy went off the cliff. And then Barack Obama became president, turned things around. We don't want to return to the failed policies that brought on the misery of this recession. I support the Bowles-Simpson bipartisan outline for getting this debt under control that allows you to invest in job growth, in education, in training, in infrastructure. I'm the only candidate running for the United States Senate that embraces a bipartisan approach, a balanced approach, to bring our budget under control and allow job growth.
I'm Dean Ahmed. I'm the Libertarian candidate, and I think that act needs to be repealed. The fact is that apart from its inherent problems, there is the issue of its unconstitutionality that was raised and taken before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court deftly avoided that problem by saying that it was not valid under the Commerce Clause, but it was valid as a tax. Now, here's my problem with that. I certainly know that the Congress has the right to pass taxes, but if you look at the legislative history, it was not passed as a tax. In fact, we were told repeatedly, this isn't a tax. This is legislation through the back door. I think it has to be repealed and we have to start over. There are many serious problems that need to be addressed, the problems of portability of people's health care, but that needs to be addressed by going to back to a system in which the consumer has the say, and the consumer drives where his health care money is going to go, not the state and not the insurance companies who wrote this awful legislation.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Dan Bongino, Republican nominee for U.S. Senate. I believe, absent Dean, I'm the only candidate in this race pledging to vote to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and I'd like to tell you why. Former presidential candidate John Edwards once spoke of two Americas. Well, Mr. Edwards was right. What you're going to have after the passage and full implementation of the Affordable Care Act is two Americas. You're going to have a system of low-income and lower-middle-income folks who are relegated to government clinics providing substandard care, who may have health insurance but will certainly not have health care. And you're going to have a system of boutique medicine for upper middle class and wealthy folks who refuse to engage in this process and will just pay, in fact, in cash. You are seeing it already. Folks, there is a difference between health insurance and health care. The Republican plan, absent the demonization, which is inaccurate, will allow you to purchase the same plan both Senator Cardin and I had when I was a Secret Service agent with the United States government. It's a great plan. It allows you to choose, not a board of bureaucrats. There's a difference.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Well, Ben Cardin, with millions of Americans not having health insurance, we have a dual system today. The Affordable Care Act, I'm a strong supporter of it. I helped craft several provisions that are in it. And I'm very proud to work with President Obama to get it enacted into law. It took us 40 years to get it done. But America, at long last, said health care is a right, not a privilege, that everyone has access to care. It builds on private health care. Health care is provided by private doctors, private hospitals. The expansion of health insurance is with private insurance companies. In the bill are provisions that I drafted, including preventive care, including improvements that we've made to our seniors' health care, including, as I said, the National Institute for Minority Health and Health Disparities at the National Institutes of Health. But if you repeal the Affordable Care Act, parents that can keep their children on their policies at age 26, that's gone. The pre-existing condition restrictions come back. Today, women are considered a pre-existing condition. We end that. We need to move forward, not repeal Obamacare.
Yes, sir.
I'm Rob Sabani, and there are certain aspects of the President's Health Care Act that I would certainly support, pre-existing conditions, making sure people who are not insured get coverage, because that's a peace of mind that goes with, you know, health care. However, my brother's also a doctor, and he's finding that, you know, his times with his patients are shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And so I would go back and, instead of writing 2,400 pages of legislation without knowing who really was involved in that, make sure that everyone who has a stake in this, as patients, doctors, write the bill. Because at the end of the day, it's between a doctor and the patient. And we got to build out from that relationship a healthcare system that, as I said, supports some of what President Obama's trying to do, but also making sure that it's not all government control.
Thank you very much. On October the 21st, I woke up to see the Sun paper, and on the front page it read, "State ballot campaigns woo black voters. African-American voters could be 25% of the electorate." What are you doing to come after that 25%?
Well, I think I'm the only candidate who's actually out there doing it and not talking about it. I've spent an enormous amount of time, the Suitland Metro, the Greenbelt Metro, Orioles games, Hartford and St. Lowe Drive, Lexington Market, shaking hands. Some of the folks listening know who I am and have shaken my hand there. We've been at this for a year and a half. But I'll tell you, Larry, I don't talk to voters like they're black voters, because they're not black voters. They're voters. There's no they versus us. There's no black versus white. There's no neat little box we're going to put people in. Black voters, as they're called, they're not black voters. They care about the same issues white voters and Asian voters care about. Jobs, health care, education. What's the difference? Tell me where the black voter ballot is and the white voter ballot. There isn't one. We have to stop putting people in these boxes. It is doing nothing to further our society, to further job growth and prosperity. What's the difference? There is no difference, and I refuse to play that game. There are no black voters. There's no they and us. There is only us.
Yes, sir.
Ben Cardin, I've lived my entire life in Baltimore. I'm a product of the Baltimore City Public Schools, attended Liberty School No. 64 at Garrison in Maine. Garrison, we called it junior high, now middle schools, Baltimore City College High School. To me, education is the great equalizer. And yes, I support strengthening our educational systems. I think the federal government has a role to play, try to reduce class size, help with excelling. President Obama has provided leadership. What I don't want to see done, I don't want to see taxpayer-supported private school vouchers that take money away from the quality of our neighborhood schools that build vibrant communities. That we need to strengthen, not weaken, in our community. So I reach out to all the people of Maryland. I've represented all the state, from the western mountains to the eastern shore. And I am there, and I'm going to continue to be there, to fight for opportunity for all Marylanders.
Yes, sir.
Well, when I travel the city of Baltimore, I see hurt, I see pain, I see unemployment. I see young men and women coming up to me and saying, how can you be inspired if you're not hired? Let me repeat that. How can you be inspired if you're not hired? And that is the fundamental thing that I'm going to bring to the table, because I've done it in private life. I've done it as a businessman. So I will bring in $1 billion into the city of Baltimore so we can build 25,000 new homes. So Frederick, who's a drywall expert, Tiana, who's trying to learn the craft of building homes, can have a job. And that I can do from day one. And then a second issue, important, $500 million to accelerate the fight against cancer. A large proportion of African Americans are struck by cancer. I pledge $500 million into the state of Maryland to fight the scourge of cancer.
Thank you very much. We're going to take an information
Dean Ahmed, Libertarian candidate. I don't have in 1 minute enough time to answer this question. So what I'm going to do is I'm first going to rely on quoting someone far more eloquent than myself, Malik al-Shabazz, who many people know as Malcolm X, who, when he was asked, what is it that you want, said, I want what you want. And I think that that's the important thing to understand. And that's the attitude I take when I'm dealing with the needs of the so-called black voters or African-American voters. And of the issues that I think people are most concerned about is the issue of education. We have a system of education whose designers, if you go back in the history books, they designed public education in the belief there should be two kinds of education in this country, one for the elites that were provided by the private schools, and one for the masses would be provided by the public schools that would keep them in their place. Schools that are even designed to look like factories. I would put an end to the federal Department of Education, return education back to the parents, and let them control what their children learn.
1010 WOLB, where information is power.